Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Sign up to our loyalty programme and reap the rewards at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Okay, time now for the watch list, our recommendations for the best movies and TV for the week ahead. And I'm joined today by movies editor at the RTE Guide, Michael Doherty, and arts journalist Zara Hederman. Welcome, guys.
Hello.
Cheers, Brendan.
Zara, are you excited about the new three-part Victoria Beckham documentary dropping on Netflix on Thursday? Are we going to find out why Brooklyn left the family?
No. We're not, because it was filmed in 2024, which is very disappointing. I'm excited for it because of the memes that we might get from it.
Yeah.
As we remember, her husband, David Beckham, had the Netflix docuseries treatment. And there was a very funny moment in that where she said she grew up kind of quite working class. And he said, but your dad dropped you to school in a Rolls Royce. So how does that work? So I'm excited for those kind of like mask clipping moments. But basically, this is kind of going to follow the same format. Her childhood, her rise to stardom as Pop Spice, and then into becoming, trying to be a formidable force in the fashion world, which, as like we know, she had quite a lot of failure in fashion. She mentions in the documentary that she went millions in debt and a lot of people questioned her. So it'll be interesting to see how that is tackled in the documentary in particular.
But the message tightly controlled at all times by her. This is
absolutely
her version of her
story. Oh, absolutely, yeah. Okay. And we do get insights from close friends like Tom Ford and Eva Longoria. We'll get, and Anna Wintour. We'll get like insights into her family life, but as you said, nothing about, I'd say,
but look,
Brooklyn.
She remains a fascination.
Absolutely.
For her. So that's it's just called Victoria Beckham, obviously, and it's on Netflix on Thursday. Michael, celebrity traitor. So calm down, everyone. It's the UK one. We're not seeing the Irish celebs yet. Starts on BBC One on Wednesday. They've got some lineup, don't they?
They have. For those who are, obviously, everyone loves the Irish version and they're missing already. They're missing their fix of the traitors. Yeah, so it's Claudia Winkleman again. It's all for charity. But you've people like Claire Balding, Stephen Fry's in there, Jonathan Ross is in there. And what's interesting as well, I feel, is that Ruth Codd, the Wexford actress, who people will know from The Dry.
Yeah.
She's in there as well. She inveigled herself in amongst all these people, which is really strong. But there's a good mixture of Nish Kumar there. There's a mixture of comedians, presenters, all celebs. And you suspect there will be quite a bit of backstabbing, the nature of it. So it sounds good. And also, we're really looking forward as well to who's going to be in when the Irish Traitors, the celebrity Irish one, is called. Who'll be in there? Apart from yourself,
obviously. Nodding along heartily there, you fan, yeah?
I love it. I can't wait. And I'm excited for the celebrity one, because what I love about with civilians is that they have secret connections to people, or they make up jobs, or they pretend to be Welsh. Whereas these people, everyone knows everything about them.
Yeah.
So yeah, it'll be interesting to see that kind of dynamic.
Okay, that's on BBC One Wednesday at 9. That kicks off Celebrity Traitors. Zara, Wayward, which is on Netflix. Now, I'm finding it enjoyable enough so far. Like, it's not going to win any awards, but...
No, I actually watched all 8 episodes. I went into it a bit like, oh, this could be not great. But it's Mae Martin who's created this. And it's a really interesting premise where they're going into these kind of, in inverted commas, therapeutic boarding schools that were created for the troubled teen industry in America, which is a multi-million dollar industry, especially in the late 90s and 2000s. So this is set in 2003. Mae Martin plays a young transgender police officer who's moved to Tall Pines, which is a fictional town in Vermont, with his wife, who went to this academy. And Alex is kind of seeing all of these kind of weird kind of traits within the town, especially when it comes to like the family setup. And it's breadcrumbed, I found. I don't know if you found this. The storyline is breadcrumbed really well, where you watch an episode and you're like, oh, I kind of want to go and see what happens next.
Totally, yeah.
And as someone who's a big fan of like Twin Peaks and True Detective, this really sparked my interest.
It has that sense of weirdness, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah. So it's a definite worthwhile watch.
Yeah. Okay. Wayward. That's on Netflix now. Michael, Tony Cascarino, Extra Time is on RTE1 this Tuesday at 9:35. So a bit of nostalgia for the glory days of Irish football, but also sounds like a really kind of unflinching look looking at himself and how he's treated the women in his life and stuff.
That's
like
the thing.
That.
A lot of footballers' documentaries are really bland. And even if you've read Tony's autobiography, which he co-authored with Paul Kimmage, he, no holds barred. He tells everything about him. I mean, he's had a really eventful life. He was the guy who was sold for a bag of tracksuits at the start of his career. He was a normal bloke, hairdresser, who worked his way up from non-league up to Chelsea, Villa. He played a World Cup for Ireland, even though, as famously, you'd need 2 episodes of Who Do You Think You Are to get close to an Irish relative for Tony Cascarino. But like, he had his personal life, like, he, you know, there were women, there was gambling, there's a lot of stuff going on, and he is quite happy to sit there and tell you all about it and how he survived and got through it. So it's a very, very good
excellent
watch.
For non-sports fans
Fan also, because footballers, don't often make the best documentary subjects.
Okay, Tony Cascarino, Extra Time, RT1, Tuesday at 9:35. Zara, I'm very excited by Dwayne The Rock Johnson's move into arthouse cinema. So The Smashing Machine is in cinemas now. Is he going to win an Oscar?
Oh, it'll be certainly nominated, I think. Dwayne Johnson is very convincing and compelling as Mark Kerr.
You know he's going for an Oscar because they have hair on him. So
exactly.
Transformed.
Exactly. And he's doing kind of like a Rocky 3 montage of training after defeat. I went into this not knowing a whole lot. So this is Benny Safdie bringing us the story of Mark Kerr, who was a UFC mixed martial artist. And it's set in a very condensed time in his life, 1997 to 2000, and it goes into like the Pride Championships, which is the UFC fighting in Japan. And going in, I was very tense because the dynamic between Mark Kerr and his partner Don Staples, played by Emily Blunt, who's also very good in this film but doesn't get a whole lot, that is where a lot of the tension comes from. And watching it, I was like, oh, where is this going to go? This could get very dark. But nothing really big stakes happens in this. Like, he loses fights, his domestic life is kind of troubled and fractious. But at the end, I left the screening thinking, what was the point in this? But at the same time, it's Benny Safdie's solo directorial debut. He's broken away from his brother Josh, and like, it looks great. Okay. It's shot very well. The soundtrack is incredible, and the performances are good.
But I can't get away from you. You came out and said, "What was the point of that?"
Yeah.
Okay, The Smashing Machine in cinemas now. Michael, I Swear is in cinemas next Friday. You like this?
Yeah, very, very powerful. True story of a Scots guy who developed Tourette's as a youngster in the 80s when nobody knew what Tourette's was. So he's basically, they all thought he was some sort of a juvenile delinquent, thrown out of school, his family couldn't cope. And he ended up luckily being befriended by a nurse who cared for him and talked him through the symptoms and what he needed to progress in life. But what's really strong about it is that he became an advocate for Tourette's, ending up, this is not a spoiler because it's the opening scene, ending up winning an MBE. And if you want to see an interesting true scene, it's when a Tourette sufferer meets the Queen, who's handing him an MBE.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And you can imagine. And it's so it's very powerful, it's haunting, it's harrowing, but it's also very funny. But terrific performance by a young actor called Rob Arameo, who's really, really strong. I mean, really well cast.
Okay, so not just worthy, it is entertaining.
It's very entertaining, very, very strong, and well worth seeing.
I Swear, in cinemas next Friday. So Zara, tell me about Harris Dickinson and this film Urchin. Is in cinemas now. I think it's getting rave reviews.
It's absolutely excellent. It's a character study on a guy called Mike, who's played incredibly well by Frank Dillon. So basically, Mike is a homeless man who's just come out of jail. He's trying to overcome addiction. And basically, Harris Dickinson said that he wanted to look at people who are failed by the system and how there's like short-term solutions for people like Mike, but the long-term, like, they're then left to kind of try and figure things out. And it's very sobering. It's a very dark watch, but very excellently done all around London. And as I was watching it, a few films came to mind that very clearly shaped the cinematic language, which was Mike Leigh's Naked, which is incredible, Whitnell Knight, Ratcatcher, Uncut Gems, and Beau Travail. And while those references are very evident, they don't overshadow Harris Dickinson's directorial and writing work on this. And he won an award at the Venice Film Festival for it, and I came away just couldn't stop thinking about it. And I think something that was a huge plus for Frank Dillon in this role is Harris Dickinson said that they had an unusually long amount of time to rehearse, and that is so evident in this.
Okay.
Like, he is excellent, and I can't wait to see what he does next.
Okay, Urchin in cinemas now. Michael, briefly, we spoke to Myrid Carton yesterday about her film A Want in Her. It's in cinemas from Friday. This is a really arresting film, isn't it?
Oh, that's remarkable. I mean, it's harrowing, as I'm sure, as when you spoke to her. I mean, she brought a camera to a situation where she was chronicling her mother, her into the fog of alcoholism, the rows in the family over the house. But it's always, initially I was a bit wary because I was thinking, would you bring a camera here? But actually, it's done with great love.
No, she's trying everyone's on board.
And because, and family accepted, because this is what she is. She's a moving image artist. So she brings her camera everywhere. So I think it is harrowing, yes, but it's also, it's leavened by moments of humour, and it's definitely worth seeing. I wouldn't miss it. It's one of the most remarkable documentaries you'll see.
Yeah, we've just done three really harrowing films. Yeah. Zara, literally like in 10 seconds, Play Dirty starring Mark Wahlberg, straight to Prime Video. Is this good mindless entertainment
good
for someone this evening?
Yeah, it is good crack. It's based on a Donald E. Westlake book, and it's just a crime heist, very Bond-like, great set pieces.
Okay, so there's your dumb entertainment for this evening. Okay, thank you very much, Zara Hederman and Michael Doherty. That's it for today. You can listen back fact, all the conversations from today's show on the RTE Radio app or wherever you get your podcasts,